Yeah, like she said, my name is Olivia. I'm a second year studying nursing here at High University. And this is the story of how God relentlessly ran after my hardened, perfection-driven heart and transformed it into one that's finally surrendered to him. Like many of us, I grew up in church, was baptized at 2 months old, was on Sunday school every week, able to sing every hymn by heart, and yes, I still know all the Father Abraham moves. But while I knew a lot about God, I didn't actually know him. The extent of my family's faithfulness started and ended on Sunday mornings and an occasional prayer before a holiday meal. Instead, my family valued hard work, success, and achievement, and I quickly learned that my worth came from my performance. Starting in preschool, I lived by impossible standards, constantly trying to be the best daughter, the best friend, the best student, the best dancer, the best musician, honestly, just the best at everything. This perfectionism became my identity. I planned every aspect of my life, leaving no room for God to have control. I thought if I just held everything together, I could finally feel secure, loved, and enough. But the more I tried to control things, the more everything around me fell apart. I made poor decisions over and over again. My mental health declined, and my desire to be loved left me vulnerable and wounded, looking for worth in all of the wrong places. Despite the fact that my family didn't put true importance in a relationship with God, every summer my family sent me to Camp Otterbein here in Logan, Ohio, and it was there on Vesper Hill at 8 years old that I asked Jesus to come into my heart for the first time. But without spiritual guidance at home, my passion for God quickly faded every year after camp. The same cycle repeated every single year. A temporary spiritual high followed by a return to striving for control, perfection, and approval. By middle and high school, my life revolved around my pursuit for control and perfection, which caused me to make idols out of my grades, sports, music, my body, and boys. When COVID hit, that desire for control spiraled into an eating disorder. I felt completely trapped, desperate to maintain my image while losing myself inside. After COVID, I knew something had to change, so I decided to join my church's youth group, and right around that time, our church got a new youth pastor. And this excited me because I so desperately needed spiritual guidance. And because of my longing for direction, I let my guard down. Instead of my youth pastor being a source of encouragement, he used his position of power to manipulate and harm rather than edify. The things he said and did tore me apart emotionally and spiritually, and I had gone to him looking for God and instead was met with exploitation. When others at church didn't believe what I had experienced, I completely shut down. I couldn't reconcile how people who claimed to know Jesus could defend someone who had destroyed my trust in him. And so I ran from the church, from God, and from anything that reminded me of faith. But still my need for love and approval drove me into deeper brokenness. At 15, I started dating a guy who didn't know God and was involved in hard drugs, cheating, and partying. But I stayed because the idea of being loved, even conditionally, was better than being alone. That relationship mirrored the same emotional harm I had already faced, and I found myself completely empty. I continued to call myself a Christian, but it was merely a familiar label and not a lifestyle. I still wanted to look like I had it all together, the perfect student, the perfect friend, and the perfect girl. Inside, though, I was spiraling. My need for control and approval left me anxious, exhausted, and depressed. When I came to Ohio University last year, I told people I was a Christian, but I was running harder than ever from God. I tried to reinvent my image, doing whatever it took to fit in, to be invited, and to be liked. But it only left me emptier. My mental health hit an all-time low, and I found myself begging for the semester to end so I could just go home. But home wasn't peaceful either. Within hours of walking through the door, family tensions exploded, every word struck a nerve, and every action was like walking on eggshells. This made me desperate for escape. I remembered hearing about Winter Conference at 180, so out of desperate need to get away from my house, I signed up just 2 days before it started, not because I wanted to seek God, but because I couldn't fathom spending any more time at home. But God had other plans. Walking into the JW Marriott, I could feel something shifting. During one session, a speaker named Portia Allen spoke about idols and the importance of loving God above all else. Something I'd heard before, but this time it hit differently. She talked about the danger of idolizing your past and living as though you're still condemned even after knowing Jesus. During this talk, she said, "I don't know what you're going through, but believe me, he is still faithful." And in that moment, I remember thinking, yeah, right. Where was God in my eating disorder, in the manipulation and abuse, in my anxiety and perfectionism? If he really cared, why did he let it all happen? But then she said something that I'll never forget. Understand that someone's free will has violated your life. God did not do this to you, but in allowing it, he's burning away what's holding you back. The fire of the Holy Spirit cleanses you and makes you more like him. For the first time, I saw my pain differently. My story wasn't punishment, it was part of God's redemption plan. The brokenness of this world isn't God's doing, but he never stops working to bring beauty out of it. That night, something in me began to break. Not from shame, but from release. I finally started forgiving the people who had wounded me, and I began to lay down the control I had gripped so tightly for so long. Later that week, we were given bookmarks that said, I'm trusting God this week with, and as I prayed, I knew exactly what I needed to write. I'm trusting God with my future. In that moment, I surrendered. I stopped trying to plan every detail, stopped pretending I could hold it all together, and finally gave God control over my life. Since Winter Conference, everything has changed. Not perfectly, but truly. My heart is no longer driven by image or achievement, but by a genuine desire to know him. God's faithfulness has shown up in community, healing, and a peace that I never thought that I could have. One verse that captures this new life for me is 2 Corinthians 7:10, which says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." For so long, I lived in worldly sorrow, shame, striving, and self-control. Surrendering to Jesus brought me true repentance and freedom. Now I live by another promise, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. My life used to be about perfection and control, but now it's about peace and trust. The same God I ran from for years never stopped chasing me, and when I finally stopped running, I found that his love had been there all along. I can now rest in the comfort of his peace and knowing that the future he has for me is more than anything I could want or imagine. In saying all this, I don't want you to hear this story and be like, "Ah, man, that sucks." But I want you to be able to understand that the grace and love of God is pursuing you in all movements more than you could even begin to fathom, even in places that you don't want to be at. Because of this, I want to be one of the first people to ask you all to please consider coming to Winter Conference. Nothing could have ever prepared me for the ways that God would meet me there, and I would so highly encourage all of you to come and see for yourself the ways that God is moving there. If any part of my story resonated with you tonight, or you just want to talk about memes, then feel free to come down to the front and talk to me after 180. My name is Olivia, and this was my 180 story.